What a great God, great salvation. We'll take your Bibles this morning, open to James chapter number 1. The message today, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. If a man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let's pray. Father, we come to thank you and praise you, Lord, for this opportunity to assemble around the Word of God. Thank you for the miracle of this revelation. Thank you for the miracle of its preservation. And Father, thank you, Lord, for the liberty we enjoy today. Though it may be fleeting from us, God, we give thanks and praise that we could, each of us, have a copy of the Word of God. And Lord, we could hold it dear and precious. We could read it and study it. And Father, we can gather around it today and ask you for the leadership and the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost to minister it to our hearts and lives. Lord, you know us, you know our thoughts, you know our uprising, Lord, our down sitting. You know everything about us, Lord. You know the thoughts and intents and motives of our heart. We pray the Holy Ghost now would take this opportunity, Lord, to minister the Word of God accordingly to our need today. I pray for that person that's not born again, God, this day, that they might be convicted of their sin. And that, God, that you might awaken their soul to their need of Christ, and they might come unto the Savior today. I pray for every child of God, Lord, in our calling to live for thee, to honor thee, to glorify thee, to worship thee, to serve thee. And that, God, we might be true to that calling, and, Father, might seek thee today, and might walk with thee closer than we've ever walked before. Help us now, Father, and bless us, we pray. Lord, bless those who have ears to hear. And we'll thank you in Jesus' precious, wonderful name. Amen. We find here that by the Holy Ghost, James is exhorting the believer and teaching us, showing us, reminding us that God is the source of true wisdom. God is the source of true wisdom. The context indicates the trial. He's writing to those that are scattered. They're not scattered because they wanted to be, but persecution has simply enabled them to spread other places. God used that for the sending forth of the gospel. But he's writing to them concerning the trial and trouble of life. And so these who experienced persecution along with the other trying aspects of life had come to certainly a time where they were grieving, suffering, having hardship. He writes to them that they were to count these things as joy, not that they were joyful. But they knew something. They knew that God was superintendent over their life and that God had a plan and purpose. God knew where they were, what they were experiencing, and God loved them and God provided for them. God would take care of them. And so they were to count it as joy because it was doing something worthwhile in their lives. And we know that. And that's a great comfort to us as a child of God. And in this situation, he writes to them. And he says in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. The wisdom in the context here certainly would indicate that when you and I are in trial or trouble or pressed to make decisions or we face changes, that those are important times because they are times we make decisions. There are times we look for change, we look for answers, we look for help. We look for relief. We look for direction. And many times we are pressed into those things. Many times those things force us to get serious. And we begin, sometimes we're not careful, to do things that might be foolish, that might not be wise, that might not be in our best. Sometimes in a time of crisis or a time of panic or desperation, listen, we're tempted sometimes to do something off the cuff and something we haven't considered or thought about or prayed about, and that's true of us all, and we have to be mindful of that. I see through the scriptures there are many Bible characters that reacted impulsively in a time of crisis. I think about Abraham, even the great man Abraham, the man of faith. When famine came, he didn't run to the altar and seek God's face. You know what he did? He took out and headed for Egypt. Boy, that was a mess. That was a mess. God had not intervened and overruled him. He'd have messed up everything because he about lost his wife. Over the situation. And so many, and you and I can relate to that, boy, sometimes we panic, sometimes we get in a crisis, sometimes we've got to do something, do it fast, and we respond. And oftentimes we'll respond as a naturally minded man would respond. But we're not to be naturally minded, we're to be spiritually minded, amen? You're saved? Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
Just checking. We're to be spiritually minded. We who are Christians, we are saved, we are to be Bible students. We are to receive the Word of God, and that when we receive the Word of God, it's supposed to come out of us. We're to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're to think in biblical terms. We're to think of what God says. That is supposed to infiltrate our thought process. It's supposed to be the foundation for our decision making, right? And so, listen, if you've received the Word of God, if you have listened to it, if you have taken it in, if you've studied it, if you have put your faith in it, then listen, it's supposed to come out and come in and help us when we face these situations. But I grieve sometimes because when the mouths of professing Christians open, so much of what they say does not have a biblical context. They speak like the rest of the world speaks. They say things that the world would say. They do things the world would do. But that's not to be the child of God. Are you saved here today?
Yeah.
Saved. God saved. And if you're saved, you know what the Bible said? The Bible said that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. You've been sealed with the Spirit of God. And you have a teacher. You have an anointing of God. And listen, thank God we have the Word. And now we're able to understand. And the Spirit reveals the deep things of God that have been given to us, the things that we have in Christ. And so, listen, we are to take in all the Word. And it's to reflect, it's to manifest itself in how we live and how we think. And so James says, listen, if a man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Now James is being polite because every man does lack wisdom. But he's calling us to the awareness of it, to our occasion when we realize how much we need this wisdom. Now, how many lives have been damaged, destroyed, because in time of crisis, time of sorrow, time of a great decision, time of change, they've done things that were foolish. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, because if you didn't raise your hand, you'd be lying. But everyone has done something foolish. Okay? So I'm just going to raise my hand for you. Okay? We've all done foolish things. And the foolishness comes natural to us. But notice here, the scripture is that if we lack wisdom, we may ask of God. Why? Because God is the source of true wisdom. The first thing I want you to see is the defining of wisdom. Number one, the defining of wisdom. Can I give you just a very simple statement of the right use and application of truth and knowledge? Now, we could spend the rest of the time discussing the definition of wisdom, and I'll give you something simple foundation. The right use or application of truth and knowledge. How do I apply it? I need to know what's true. I need to have the knowledge, and I need to apply it. There are a whole lot of people living as fools today, and the problem is they know better. Isn't that sad? They know better. In Proverbs, there's a difference between someone who's ignorant and someone who's a fool. A fool is a person in Proverbs who actually knew better, but he did anyway. And so we have to have knowledge, we have to have truth, but then we have to apply it. And here's where wisdom comes in. There's a whole lot more Bible we know than we actually live. And there are many things we know that are true, but at the moment, those truths are not giving us, a sense of courage and confidence. No, we're still wrecked and ravaged by fear and by other things. Now, the principle, of course, is very simple. That is, when you know what is right and true, you need to apply it. Why? Because we want to align our choices. We want to align our conduct with that which is true and that which is right. Why? Because I want to be blessed. I want things to go good. I want to be successful. I want to have joy and peace. I'd like to avoid the sorrow, the guilt, the shame, the destruction, the damage, the defeat that comes into life. So I want to do things that are right. I want to do things that align with truth. I don't want to live my life and make my choices on things that are wrong. Why? Well, because I know what down the road's going to be. Guilt, sorrow, shame, disappointment, disaster, defeat, loss. I don't want those things. And so we want to apply wisdom. And we find, of course, it's the opposite of foolishness. To do opposite of what is true and right is folly. And our lives will be filled with regret and sorrow and punishment. And this is the way of the world. The world professes great wisdom. But can you tell it's not working? Look, in every aspect of life, anything from the world itself to the governments of the world down to the domestic life and down to the individual, you know what happens? Nothing is working. You know why? Because the wisdom of this world is foolishness. It is foolishness. And so, when you and I consider here, we understand that James is building upon the wisdom that is defined not by the world, but the wisdom that is defined by the Scripture. And here's something we understand. We know that truth and righteousness is revealed by God. Do you believe that this morning? I believe that. I don't believe that man can properly define or become a reference for what is true and right. I believe that is reserved only unto God Himself. God is the one who knows all things. God is eternal. God is holy. God is not corrupted, nor is He deceived by anything. And so truth belongs to God. God is truth, and God is righteousness. So He's the source of both things. And so if I want wisdom, I have to find it in God. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Notice he lays down the foundation for this wisdom, that if you do not have a respect for what God has said, you will choose a pathway of foolishness. Folly will be your way. If you do not give a respect and reverence for the Word of God. That's the reason when we look in our world, what do we see? We see foolishness and we see folly. Why? Because they do not have a respect for God and for what He has said. God has told us truth. God has told us what is right. But the world turns a deaf ear toward what God has said. And so, the fear of the Lord is a listening carefully and respecting the fact that the Lord is greater than I am and that He knows all things. He's greater than all men, and God knows what is true and reveals it to us. And you know what? Just a simple truth would help so many people. God's a lot smarter than you are. Now, number two, the deficiency of wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, the fleshly, worldly mind of man rests upon a flawed foundation. There is a wisdom of the world. The Bible identifies it. It is called a fleshly wisdom. It's called the wisdom of man. It's called the wisdom of the world. And it is built upon a flawed foundation. that flawed foundation is because it does not rest upon what God has revealed. It is flawed because it's built on two things, imagination and desire. Man's wisdom or worldly wisdom or natural wisdom is built on man's imagination. Now, why do you say that? Because there's so much that you and I do not know, nor have we seen, but we just thought something up. You and I were not there at the beginning of creation when the Lord created. Man rejects the fact that God created, and so you know what he did? He just made something up. We do not know, listen, what is beyond the grave, and so you know what man does? He just makes something up. And he tells himself long enough, and he tells his friends long enough, and he tells the world long enough, and somehow it became an educated guess, became a theory, and now it became a fact. It's still based on the fact somebody just made something up. Amen. You weren't there. You didn't see it. You don't know it. You just made something up. We have the foundation for life and for the world in some man's theory that he made up by his own imagination. He wasn't there. He didn't see the explosion. He didn't see the process. He didn't see evolution, but it sounded good, so he made it up. Man's wisdom is flawed because it's built on two things. Number one, imagination. Number two, desire. Now, where does desire come in? You know what man believes? He believes what he wants to believe. What he wants becomes the foundation of what he says is right and true. The world is identified today. Listen, its standard of right and wrong is based upon what it wants. And it justifies and it props up what it wants as if it is the standard of what's true and right. And so we have a worldly wisdom. We have a fleshly wisdom. And so truth becomes what I want or what I think. And we have the world's chaos. We have the world's corruption. We have the world's confusion. Listen, all because of man's wisdom, which is flawed, and it is foolishness. And listen, the Bible summed it up in 1 Corinthians 2 to show you the full extent of man's foolishness and how wrong it can be. The Bible said by wisdom they crucified the Lord of glory. You're so smart, you crucified the God who created you. Is that wrong, or is that the ultimate wrong? Is that the ultimate misjudgment? That is the ultimate. The one who created you and the one that holds life in your hand and the one who was dying and would die to save your sin from hell and the one that would save you and deliver you and give you eternal life is the one you shouted, crucify by wisdom, 1 Corinthians 2 says. They did that by their wisdom. That's how smart they were. That's how smart the world is. And they continue to crucify the Lord of glory, by the way. And so, the Bible here sums it up and gives us here the counsel of who. Now, here's the point I was making in the introduction. I hear out of the mouths of professing believers the world's wisdom. Not that which represents the Word of God. I'll give you some examples. And if you're guilty, confess it. And get it right and say, God, help me never again. Let me give you the fool's counsel. Here's the fool's counsel. Follow your heart. That is fool's counsel. Are you listening to me? Do you know anything what the Bible says? The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. The heart wants what it wants. The heart sets the standards of what is right and what is true by its desire. You understand that? Are we not ignorant to God's warning about trusting ourselves and trusting our flesh? Let me give you another one. Go with your gut. Sounds nasty to me anyway, but anyway, go with your gut. Go with your first instincts. Be true to yourself. I'm going to tell you something. That's out of the folly of the world. That's not what your Bible teaches you. No. What does the Bible tell us? Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Do you trust your heart? No, you trust the Lord. Right? Oh, listen, many times what the Lord says, not what I wanted to do. Right? Not what I wanted to do. I've had many occasion. Listen, when somebody did something or somebody said something, or maybe a little road rage, and my first thought was, and God said, that's not what Christians do. But it's what I want to do at the moment. God said, no, no. You see, isn't it wonderful when the Bible comes back to you when you need it and even when you don't? We're to saturate ourselves with the Word of God. Why? So that it comes out. So that it becomes a guide. That it directs our course. That it gives us principle of wisdom. The natural man, when he acts quickly, when he acts presumptuously, when he acts, listen, at the spur of the moment, he does foolish things. You and I, listen, we are to seek the Lord. That verse goes on to say, be not wise in thy own eyes, fear the Lord, depart from evil. Remember the warning of God's counsel? O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Now listen, you cannot trust yourself. You cannot follow your heart. You cannot go with your instincts. You cannot go with your gut. Why? The Bible warns us that it's not in man to direct his way, that you and I will walk a pathway of foolishness. And the only thing that turns us about and puts us down the path of wisdom is when we seek God and ask God for the wisdom that comes from his word. And then alone will we choose the right path, because God will show it to us. You may think you're a lion. The Bible says you're a sheep and you need a shepherd. I need a shepherd. You know why? Because I wander about and go the wrong direction and endanger myself and others if I don't have the leadership of the shepherd. And so there is a deficiency of wisdom. What about the grace verse of Scripture, Proverbs 6:25? There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He's choosing what he feels in his heart, in his gut, in his instinct, in his inclination of what is right. And the Bible says when he gets there, it caused him death. That's how untrustworthy our heart and our own resources are. That's the reason we're compelled throughout this Bible to put your trust in God. You and I know that as long as we have sought God, trusted Him, followed Him, and obeyed Him, we will walk the blessed pathway. We'll be on the glory road. And so, let me give you the third one, the discovery of wisdom. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. God is the source of wisdom. If you look over, look at chapter 3 quickly while we're in the neighborhood, and look at verse number 17. He's describing the different conducts of men's lives and how they relate to the wisdom that they have referenced. The Bible said in verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruits of righteousness sown in peace of them that make peace. But look at verse 15. This wisdom sinneth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. There are two wisdoms listed here. What does that mean? That means there are two ways that seem right. two ways that indicate what is true, what is right. One of them, listen, is from above, comes from God. The other comes from man. It is earthly. It is sensual. It is devilish. And so, listen, when we face life and we face decision and hardship and crisis and trial and trouble and problems, we are pressed to make changes. We are pressed, listen, for a right direction. We are pressed upon ourselves to get out of this or find help or find comfort, find relief or find an answer. And in all of our searching, the Bible says we lack wisdom to make those decisions. And so we come to God and we get wisdom from God above, who will lead us and guide us in the way of truth so that we might be blessed in these days ahead. And so the discovery of wisdom, it's found when you and I seek it from God. God is the source of absolute truth. God is the source of true righteousness. It's only found in Him and not in our fellow man, not in ourselves, not in our world. And so therefore, a man must continually humble himself before the Lord and seek God's will and God's truth, and God's leadership, and if he does, God will lead him. The promises are given to us of God's leadership in our life and his willingness to guide us, but we have to humble ourselves and confess our need and confess our lack and come and trust the Lord. A wise man knows there is no blessing in the paths that run contrary to truth and righteousness. There might be some temporary pleasure, but we know that sooner or later that we will end up in that crossroad and we'll face again our folly, and that we will have to pay for the poor decisions and choices we've made. A wise man knows not to trust his fleshly mind and his untrustworthy heart, because they will deceive. A wise man is honest in the confession of his weakness intellectually and morally. We come and make that confession. God, listen, I don't know a lot of things. And Lord, even the things I know sometimes I do not want to do. We come and confess our weakness before God. And we ask of God. We come seeking of Him. So what does that tell us? If you're going to be a wise man, it's not because you become so versed in public education and in all of man's knowledge. Listen, if you're going to be a wise man, you're going to have to walk closely with your God. A wise man is a man who walks close to wisdom. He walks close to the Almighty God. He is always in fellowship. A wise man knows the great enemy of his pride. A wise man knows that he needs that shepherd. And so, listen, what does that tell us? That tells us, listen, that wisdom is not something that is intellectual. Wisdom, true wisdom, is moral, in that we are always seeking God. What does that mean? That if my fellowship, my worship with God, is not consistent and not sincere, I'm going to walk a fool's pathway. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how many counselors you have. I don't care how many degrees you have behind your name. If you and I do not walk closely with God and seek His face and humble ourselves before Him and consistently worship Him and call upon Him, we will walk a foolish pathway. There will be regret and sorrow and loss in our futures. Many of us have to bow our heads and say, "Preacher, I know from experience what you're saying is absolutely true." Would to God, you that are younger, would heed the Scriptures and listen, learn it from God rather than experience. Learn it from God, being a preventiveness, working that which prevents it in your life rather than having to give testimony to the principle having come true in our life. If you and I will seek the Lord and walk with Him, He will lead us in the paths that are the paths of glory. The paths that promote the joy and blessing and gain of our lives. If we will consistently depend upon the Lord and call upon Him. I hope today, through the message, that the next time your mouth opens and you quote the wisdom of the world, I hope the Spirit of God will convict you greatly. God, that is not the way of the Christian. No, that I am always to trust in the Lord and seek Him to lead and to guide and direct the course of my life. So many people who profess to know the Lord, they make choices and decisions all the time, never once consulting God, never once bowing before Him, never humbling themselves and saying, Lord, would You guide, lead me, and show me what You want me to do? Well, listen, many a time we've said things we wish we could have taken back, and we've done things we wish we could do over. How many times we look back on our life and we could stop today and say, you know what? I'd like a do-over on that one. I'd like a do-over. Oh, listen, I'm glad for the precious blood of Jesus and for the mercy of God. But I tell you, even being forgiven and even having God's mercy, there's still some scars because of wrong decisions, wrong choices, wrong conduct. Heed the Word of God. Let the Word of God find its way into your heart, that it becomes the most powerful influence in how you think. Are you listening? Read the Bible, study the Bible, listen to the Bible, and ask God to penetrate your heart with it so it becomes the most powerful influence in how you think. And then it will help you in how you choose and the directions and choices that you make. And you know what? If you let God lead you, there's blessings ahead. There's joy ahead. There's peace and rest ahead. If we're simply confess the great lack. I know what wisdom is. I know I'm greatly lacking it, but I know where it's found. I know where it's found. And the Bible said, He gives to all men liberally and He upbraideth not. That old word upbraid, you know, it means God is never disturbed, angered, or bothered by how many times you ask. That's the idea of the word upbraided. You can come to that well constantly. And listen, you'll find the same open arms of God ready to give wisdom unto those who ask. He never is wearied by your asking of wisdom. God is only wearied because we don't. May we be a people who cultivate the truth of what it is to trust in the Lord. If you lack wisdom, ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and He upbraideth not. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the Word of God today. Thank You for reminding